We recently got back from another trip, this time to Delaware again, I should say, and to help our youngest son and his family move into a new house. They had been in an apartment, and they were staying in her great grandmother's house, then her parents' house, and just waiting for this house to come available. So we got them all moved in, and that's the area where we had last served in the ministry. So we got to visit some friends from the churches while we were there. And it's nice to go back and to be able to reminisce and see changes in an area, because it's been a little while since we'd been there. And it kind of reminds you of how you got to where you are. And sometimes it helps you appreciate what you have. But it also reminds you of losses that maybe have come. People that have passed. We went to a funeral for one of the gentlemen from the church where we had served while we were there. People have gotten older and not able to do the things that they were able to do. But God has a good way of helping us grow, I guess is the best word. And the only thing that really stands in the way of our growth is us, our trying to do it on our own and go our own direction. But let's start with a prayer. Father, we just give you thanks for today. Lord, I just give you thanks for the ways that you have blessed me as an individual, blessed us as a couple, as a family. Lord, you just are awesome. And it is so great to see our kids grow, our grandkids grow in you, and learn more about you and make you a bigger part of their lives. And Lord, we just praise you for that. So, Father, I know that that you're always watching over us, that you're always loving us and caring for us. Sometimes when it seems like you're the furthest away, it's probably when you're the closest. And you're so close that we can't see you, I guess. Or maybe we're not looking, is probably the bigger problem. But Lord, just be with us today as we look at your word and just to see what you have for us. Because, Father, we know that your word is full of messages for today, not messages for hundreds of years ago, but messages for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know that there's several of you that listen that are not in the United States, not from the United States. And I know that you have problems of your own wherever you are. And many are the same as the problems that we have here in our country. Too much spending and not enough money. I mean, that happens with our governments, it happens with ourselves. And everyone knowing that their idea is the best, okay? And there's no compromise. And there's a lack of respect for authority, whether it's the police, teachers, parents, anybody that's in authority. There's, in so many places, lack of any respect for those people. And I mean, the list can just go on and on and on. So what are the causes of all of this? Well, the number one cause, as far as I'm concerned, is pushing the Lord out of our schools, out of our government, trying to push him out of our homes. If we were to write down a list of the 10 biggest concerns that we had, maybe our own individual concerns, concerns for our community, our country, whatever it might be. If we were to make a list of what we thought were the big 10 biggest concerns, I think that getting back to the Lord and His Word would solve many of those concerns that we have. Because without God, we see a lot of negative things. And one of the biggest is prejudice. Now, I'm not just talking about a black and white thing. Okay, that's pretty obvious. But the liberal conservative thing, Americans and illegal aliens, or whatever country you live in and illegal aliens, guns and no guns, you know, Christians and non-believers, gay and straight. You know, there's prejudice in each one of those areas and many others as well. But the saying we need to agree to disagree just got lost somewhere, because it's not the way most people feel, unfortunately. It's agree with me or you're just totally wrong. You know, you're an idiot. But people talk about tolerance, but what they really mean is you must tolerate my ideas, but I don't have to tolerate yours. Okay, it's a one-sided thing. Now, the word tolerate, according to our friend Daniel Webster, is to neither forbid or prevent, to permit, to recognize and respect the rights, opinions, and practices of others, to put up with, to endure. This is not the way a lot of people understand that word, unfortunately. Well, as Christians, let's go beyond tolerance. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 18. And this is taken from the New Living Translation. Okay, and it says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Okay, now if we look at it in the Message, it says, if you've got it in you, get along with everybody. And the New American Standard says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, the Greek here for possible is dunatos, or dunateo, which means to be able, to could, to be capable, even to be mighty. Whoa. So if you make the effort to live at peace, you're doing what God expects from you. And if you do that, things are going to change. Even if your peaceful actions are not accepted, you're going to change. Okay? Because you're just going to have a different attitude, because you're coming at the world differently. So you get the point. You know, do your part at keeping the peace. You're not responsible for the action or reaction of others. And maybe, just maybe, that's just what God is looking for, is for you to be doing the right things. Let me share the words, or some of the words anyways, from a contemporary Christian song by Mandisa, sung by her and Toby Mac and Kirk Franklin. The song is entitled, We All Bleed the Same. And so here's the words. We all bleed the same. We're more beautiful when we come together. We all bleed the same. So tell me why. Tell me why we're divided. Woke up today, another headline. Another innocent life is taken in the name of hatred. So hard to take. And if we think that it's all good, then we're mistaken. 'Cause my heart is breaking. Are you left? Are you right? Pointing fingers, taking sides. When are we going to realize we all bleed the same? We're more beautiful when we come together. If we're going to fight, let's fight for each other. If we're going to shout, let love be the cry. We all bleed the same. So tell me why. Tell me why we're divided. Tell me, who are we to judge someone by the kind of clothes they're wearing, or the color of their skin? Are you black? Are you white? Aren't we all the same inside? Father, open our eyes to see. Only love can drive out the darkness. What are we fighting for? We were made to carry one another. We were made for more. We all bleed the same. Let's stand united. Let's stand united. So Father God, I pray that our families will come together right now and seek your face. You will forgive our sins, and you will heal our incredible land. In the name of the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Powerful words, okay? Because really, we are all the same. You know, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your political beliefs. It doesn't matter anything, you know, whatever. You know, we're still the same. You know, we're all created in the image of God. Now, I know I look around and I say, that person was created in the image of God. They've kind of messed it up a little bit, you know. But, you know, we've all been created in God's image, because it's not the physical us that's been created in God's image. It's the spiritual us that's created in God's image. So it doesn't matter what color our skin is, what color our hair is, how many tattoos we have, or how many piercings we may have. It doesn't matter what we believe or don't believe. You know, we're still made in the image of God, so we're all still the same. You know, I think that there's a lot of good stuff in that song, but it's just a song. It takes people to make something more than just that. We can all talk or sing a good game, but can we play the game? Can we put action to good words? Can we do what Romans 12:18 tells us to do? Work at living in peace with others? And sometimes it's work. I mean, it's a tough job living at peace with some people. Now, Paul restated this in his plea in Romans 14:19. And this is from the NIV. It says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. So let's agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other, is what the message says. Okay, use all of our energy to get along with each other. Wow. Can we do that? Yeah, we can. Unfortunately, it looks like it's a ways out there before that's going to happen. Now, apparently Paul thought that our getting along was a positive thing. And I guess Jesus thought that it was important as well. Listen to Mark 9:50. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other. Now, you may not agree with me here. That's okay. But Jesus is not talking about salt in the second part of the verse, the same as he is in the first part of the verse. First part, he's talking about salt as a seasoning, salt and pepper, you know, as a seasoning of some kind or a preservative. But in the second part, he's talking about being a disciple. Now, the Greek is the same in both, halas, and both mean salt, but it also means prudence. Okay. Using good judgment or common sense is another meaning for halas. You know, a couple of things that we seem to be lacking in our society, isn't it? Good judgment, common sense. You know, the last part of 950 in the King James says, have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. In other words, have good judgment in yourself, have common sense in yourself, and have peace with one another. So to have salt means to be prudent, to have peace with one another. And it's, you know, you just use common sense, make right choices, live in peace. You know, it doesn't take that much more to live in peace than it does to live in hatred, I guess. Excuse me. But why does it seem like such a difficult thing? My feeling, some people don't want peace. Okay, I really believe that. And I know that sounds crazy, but I believe that's true. Because to live in peace would mean that you'd have to compromise. And that means giving up or giving in. And that's not a natural thing. But to live in peace, that's what's got to happen. You know, I mean, competing and winning, that's the natural thing. But, you know, working to live in peace, that's not the natural thing. Because, you know, when I was in the secular world and was part of a union where I worked, and we'd sat down at the bargaining table, you know, and we didn't bargain. You know, we ended up going on strike. And, you know, everybody got hurt. The owner of the business got hurt. The employees got hurt. Everybody got hurt because there were some things that we weren't going to give in on, some things that the company was not going to give in on. And, you know, that's what's got to happen in order to live at peace, to each side to be able to give up a little bit and let go just a little bit. Now, trust me, I'm not in favor of giving everybody a trophy. Excuse me. You know, we see that, and I firmly do not believe in that. Because in sports, we're coached to win. You know, we're not coached to lose. We need to learn to lose, though. And we need to accept it and to move on. Whether it's in sports, or if you're on the debate team, or if you're applying for a job, you know, you and hundreds of other people may apply for one job. You know, only one person's going to get that. And there's going to be a lot of other people that are going to be disappointed. No, you got to pack up and move on. Or applying for a loan. You know, sometimes you get shot down. You don't get it. Or playing Monopoly. No, I am. You know, I mean, you play to win, don't you? You don't want to be the loser in Monopoly. Good grief. Or in our relationships, you know, sometimes it's difficult, but we've got to give in. We've got to see that, you know, maybe if I do this, maybe my spouse won't do that. Or maybe if I don't do this, then maybe my kids would be more apt to do that. Or on the job, you know, we've got to figure out how to get along, whether we're the boss or we're the employee. It doesn't matter. We've got to look at things and say, okay, you know, I know that, you know, this is what I really want, but, you know, maybe if I back off on that a little bit, you know, maybe things will be better. I think, guess what it comes down to is we need to learn to pick our battles, okay? Because there's some things, you know, they're just not worth it. You know, I mean, life will go on when your team loses. Trust me, I know. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, okay? So like the song said, Father, open our eyes to see. Only love can drive out the darkness. What are we fighting for? We were made to carry one another. We were made for more. We all bleed the same. Let's stand united. So Father God, I pray that our families will come together right now and seek your face. You will forgive our sins. And you will heal our incredible land in the name of the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Only love can drive out the darkness. Only love is going to bring peace. And only God brings love. So listen to Philippians 4:7. Okay, it says, and God's peace, which is so great, we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. That's the peace that we need in our world, in God's world. And it has to start with his children. You know, if it doesn't start with us, it just ain't gonna happen. Okay, if it doesn't start in the church, it's not gonna happen in the world. You know, the world has been at peace less than 8% of the time, okay? I don't know who figured this out, okay? I'm just giving you the facts that I got off the internet, so it's got to be right. Okay, in 3,530 years, only 286 years saw peace, okay? 8%, I didn't figure it out. And during that time, over 8,000 peace treaties were made and broken. Not God's plan. But the conflict, it started in the garden because someone wanted their way, not God's way. Okay, Satan convinced Eve that God just wanted to be in control. God said, you can have everything, but this. Okay. And so we've said, it just doesn't seem right to me. You know, I mean, there's all this stuff, you know, I mean, why can't I have this? You know, I mean, it looks a whole lot like that over there and that over there. So why can't I have this? What's up with that? You know? And so Eve wanted to have her own way. Now, I'm not putting all the blame on Eve, okay? I could, but I'm not gonna. But Satan was there to make Eve go against God and what she in her heart of hearts knew was right, but Satan convinced her otherwise. So the peace that had been in the garden was now gone. Do you think if maybe we did things God's way, there'd be peace? And God's way is this: as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Not live at peace with your friends, not live at peace with your family, not live at peace with those that you agree with, not live at peace with your neighbor, but live at peace with everyone. Doing things God's way, you know, it makes a difference. And God gave us the way to that peace through his son Jesus Christ and belief in him, believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins. You know, I mean, nobody else could do it, only Jesus. And so we need to believe that. We need to know that it's true. And we need to commit ourselves to Christ and to that new life in Christ that only he's going to give us. And so we need to believe that Jesus Christ not only came to earth for us, but that he died on the cross for us, and that he rose from the dead. Okay, and that's going to bring us that peace that we just can't understand, because it really, it doesn't make any sense. But it's God's way, and God's way makes the difference that our world needs. In Jesus' name, amen.